Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too, ladies and gentlemen. And where I am is our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., in anticipation of celebrating Small Business Week next week with the U.S. Small Business Administration. It's my annual pilgrimage to Washington. I'm here several times during the year, but this is the official pilgrimage when I come to Washington to celebrate Small Business Week and look really enjoying our, we always enjoy our time here and looking forward to celebrating Small Business with the SBA next week. Last week, if you remember, I was in North Dakota. I think it was last week. Sometimes they run together and I forget. I think it was last week. I was in North Dakota giving a speech, a couple of speeches actually, to the folks at Dickinson State University for the Strom Entrepreneurial Conference. And while I was there, I bumped into a guy that I wanted you to know, and you probably already know about his businesses, but you might not know who the founder, who one of the two founders is. And I met him, and he did a great job of addressing a hometown group there in North Dakota. And he's left North Dakota, moved on to great things as an entrepreneur. Started out as a small business, grew his business up to a national chain, sold it, and now he's moving on to other exciting challenges. His name is Scott Molander. He's the founder and ex-CEO of Hat World. You know that company, folks? 800 of those outlets across the country. Hat World. Many of you have gone in there to buy baseball caps at Hat World. And he's our new friend. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
It's good. It's good to have you here. It sounds like you're pretty excited about being here, too, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry. I was distracted for a second. Yeah.
That's okay.
Great to be on your show, Jim. We had a great time last week in Dickinson.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. A lot of, I don't know if you know, a doctoral candidate there, Deb Drax, if you remember her, she did a...
Oh, yeah.
Her thesis was on entrepreneurs, you're more entrepreneurial if you dare stay in the state of North Dakota than leave.
Yeah, that was a nice little nod to the state of North Dakota, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then she defended her thesis, and now you call her doctor.
Exactly. No, we met Deb, and we appreciated getting to know her a little bit. Okay, Scott, you left Dickinson State University and went out into the world. What happened after you left college there?
Well, I packed up my life in my Omni. That's all there was to it as far as my possessions, and moved to Chicago, which was quite an enlightening experience. The first time I ran into a toll booth, I got pretty upset with my friends that didn't explain that phenomenon to me. And I spent about
You really had spent a lot of time in North Dakota, hadn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't see a traffic light till I was about 16, I think. So I packed up my worked for Foot Locker in Chicago, and that was a great experience living in a big city like that. Had lots of good times, really learned a lot, and then Foot Locker transferred me to Indianapolis, where I met a good friend, Glenn Campbell, and a couple of years later, we started a company called Hat World, which now has different chains, lids. We go under different banner names, but started that company in 1995 and grew it to it's now over 800 stores across the country.
Now, Glenn, and of course, Glenn Campbell, this is not the guy who plays the guitar with the band.
No, he tries to sing, but he's just really not quite there.
Different Glenn Campbell. So you met this guy, you worked with him, didn't you?
Yep, yeah. We were both manager trainers for Foot Locker and did a lot of training and ran, you know, two of the top volume stores in the state.
So what? Tell us about the conversation you guys had together when you said, "Hey, have you thought about owning your own business?" How did that start?
Well, we traveled a lot together, and we just said, you know, we need to go into business together. We were both kind of front end and back end guys. He's quite the sales guy, I enjoy the back end technology and things like that. And we just said we'd make a good partnership. We just have to find the business to do it. And we looked at different things, and finally we kind of came to the conclusion this hat business at the time, because everybody was kind of becoming specialty concepts like Bath and Body selling soap, which I don't know that I've still been in a Bath and Body because I still buy my soap at Target. But and we came up with that concept, and people thought we were crazy. But if you can make a living selling pretzels in a mall, why can't you do it selling baseball hats?
Exactly. And so you, that was your inspiration, seeing all the niches out there. And this is something that I talk to my audience about all the time. Never underestimate the power of a well-thought-out niche, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we dominate the market. I mean, I think the next biggest chain is probably 20 stores that kind of specializes in our business, so to speak.
Well, Scott, let me ask you about the early days when you first started out. When you said let's go into business together, and you decided you were going to do that, did you actually say to yourself, let's be 800 stores one day? Was that your plan?
No, we wanted to go to about 20 stores. I had a great mentor, a guy by the name of George Berger, who was my college teacher for 1 year at Dickinson State. He was a business guy who went in teaching for 1 year and then left and went back into business. But he told us we didn't even have one store open. He goes, this could be 500 stores someday, and we just laughed at him. We just wanted 20 stores and have a good living and be able to take the weekends off. I wasn't married yet, but, you know, go see your kids, see your family. Quit missing some of the things we had done, but yet when you want to work till midnight on some nights, you know the money's going in your pocket and not a big corporation.
Uh-huh. So you started, was it called Hat World at the beginning?
Yep, Hat World. We were 161 stores, and in 2001 we acquired the Lids chain, which went bankrupt, and they had about 400 stores, of which we bought 300 out of bankruptcy about.
That was a big leap for you. By the way, folks, we've caught Scott in the airport in Toronto, so if you hear anything in the background there, that's just think of it as ambiance, and it'll make it sound a little bit better. Scott, give us now. You have a new company we're going to talk about in a minute. Give us that website before we go to the break.
InModern.net.
InModern.net.
.net. Yep.
Okay. And folks, check that out when you get a chance. And Scott and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, in anticipation of whooping it up on behalf of small business next week during Small Business Week. And I love being here. I love doing what I'm doing with helping the SBA celebrate small business. And somebody who can really appreciate that is a guy who started out as a small business, then became not such a small business, and then divested himself of that business, sold out, and took a couple of coins home with him and started another business. And that's Scott Molander, our new friend, and my new friend for sure, and your brand new friend. Scott is the former CEO of Hat World. Many of you know that business. You've been in there and done business with him many times. He was one of the founders, and now you're the founder of Say it again. What's the new website?
InModern.net.
InModern.net. It's a furniture store, isn't it?
Yep, furniture website. Green. It's totally green, and the products go together without tools or glue or fasteners, any kind. Like you always advocate, there's a lot of technology involved with CNC routers and a lot of software programs that develop this process.
Well, and folks, when he says green now, you can get different colors. What he means by green is it's environmentally correct, right? Right, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not easy being green, is it, Scott?
No, it's not. We're actually the first company to get all these certifications, and it's been quite a drive to get this. But the niche is out there. Like we talked earlier, we think the niche is out there. Nobody's doing it, so we're trying to create our own market space.
I've been to his website, folks. It's a pretty cool. It's got some pretty cool stuff there. I encourage you to check it out. And what we'll have to do, Scott, I want to get you back on another day, and we'll talk about the development of that new business. But I want to come back to the hat world thing, because I want you to tell us about what was going on in the early days. Did you ever look in the mirror and say, "I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking?"
Yeah. There was lots of days. I met my wife between store one and two, dating, and it was she used to spend her Friday night dates helping us tag hats and license plates and anything else we could sell to make a living. And it was
that's a good woman. That's a good woman, Scott, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were smart enough to hang on to her.
Yep, and she was an attorney and did our legal work and other things like that. And it was quite an experience. I always tell people if startups were easy, everybody would do them, and that's why you have to have the passion for this to overcome the obstacles. Because there was days, I tell you, you can't imagine until you've been there.
You can't really, and you're exactly right. And how many times did you say, "We're not. I don't know if we're going to make it or not."
How many times a day, or how many times? I mean, it was.
That's true. That's the answer.
One thing to another, from a little. Yeah. People always coming after you for different things, and battling with landlords, to give you a retail space in malls, and why are you guys better than Lids? Because they were the big giant. Because we merchandise better. We know our customer better. We do a lot of things better.
Now, that's a good story there, Scott, because you actually entered a marketplace where there was already a big chain, and you guys literally out-merchandised and out-marketed that big chain. And when you throw in the mistakes that they made, you wound up not only beating them in the marketplace but acquiring them. What a great David and Goliath story.
Yeah, when we started out, they only had about 20 stores, but they had a ton of money behind them out of Boston, and they just exploded with growth, 80, 100 stores a year there for a couple, three, 4 years. And then they never right-sized their business. When we acquired them, they had 19% overhead doing 100 and some million, and we had 9% overhead. We had 160 stores.
Right.
And always made money every year. That was always our goal, is to turn a profit every year, and we did, even our first year.
How much? How did you accomplish that? How did you turn a profit every year? What was your key?
We spent every dollar like it was our last dollar. To say we were tight is an a small underestimate.
How did you fund your business? What was the capital structure?
We raised, with my college professor, $110,000 in angel money, and then we went after, he knew some small private equity guys, Blue Stem Capital out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, funded us all the way through till our huge expansion, and then we used another private equity fund out of Dallas.
How long had you been in business before you realized you needed to go to the private equity folks?
A year and a half. I mean, we could have done more angel money, but, George, being the wise mentor he was, said, if we stick to one guy rather than managing a bunch of small investors, I think we're better served. And
so really you went from zero to 60 pretty fast over a period of just two or three years, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We had 18 stores, five stores in 96, 18 in 97, and then went to 53 after that, and then 120, and then in 2001 when Lids went bankrupt. Yeah, we were astronomical growth. And Indianapolis, we were the top growth leader of small businesses a couple, three, 4 years in a row.
I want to come back. Would you come back another day? We've got to wrap it up for now, but would you come back another day and talk to us about the process of selling your business to a big company?
Absolutely.
I think that'd be a great story for my audience to hear. If you'll do that, we'll get you scheduled in the future to do that.
Absolutely, Jim.
Scott, it's great to meet you. Great to get to know you. Thank you for becoming part of our Brain Trust, and congratulations on the great success you've had.
Thanks, Jim.
InModern.net. Folks, that's his new website. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break. Right back after these messages with John.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.